We are stoned, and that's okay. So why don't you just stay? Sit back and listen. You don't know what you're missing. It's Talking Stoned While Getting Sports.
Welcome, fellow humans. You're listening to Talking Stoned While Getting Sports. I fucked up, but that's okay. Episode 198. My name's Morgan. Mr. Perfect, people call me. The guy on the other line, on the other side of the country, Austin. How the fuck is it going, my guy?
Oh, there it is. Okay. I wasn't really sure where to jump in there. Yeah, it's going good. On the other side of the country, weather's been a little wonky.
We'll talk wonky.
I didn't even tell you this, but I got a little story from.
Ooh,
from my
story
life.
Time. I'm all bundled up.
I work in a mall in Victoria.
Well, so far, and this is a lame story.
Yeah. So this mall, quite frequently, there is theft. And yesterday, there was quite the event. So a lady walked into a jewelry store.
Ooh.
With a hammer.
Ooh, a heist.
Well, and started smashing display cases and taking jewelry.
So, I've seen robberies happen before, but this is a whole different level. Continue,
oh, yeah.
Guy.
So, alarm obviously goes off because it's a jewelry store and
fair.
They don't fuck around. And cops, when a jewelry store is getting robbed, they don't fuck around either.
And you're getting the luxury to witness all of this?
Well, some of it, yes. Some of it, okay. I was told about by customer service because they keep us up in the gossip. And so she fled the jewelry store, then went into a Sephora makeup store. But Sephora, because the mall is so bad with theft, they have their own security guard.
And it's also not a cheap makeup store, if I know correctly.
You can spend a lot of money there, but it's pretty pricey and small stuff, so easy to take, right? And that's why they have their own security guard. Security guard saw her running in and just stopped her, just did not let her in.
Also heard the commotion at the jewelry store.
That might have had something to do with it. So then she runs down to a store. Do you know the store Aritzia?
I don't believe so.
So it is, I wouldn't expect it because it's a very expensive women's clothing store.
Hey, I knew about Sephora.
That's true. But so she ran in there and then threatened to start fire. And then actually did light some clothes on fire.
Burn.
And around at that point, the cops showed up and tased her and arrested her.
Damn.
No. It was a day. In the mall. Is a little nuts, and apparently somebody filmed part of it, so it may be online at some point.
Oh, it definitely is.
I'm sure it will be somewhere. But
it's on TikTok for sure.
I hope so. Anyway, yeah, so that was kind of a wild day in the mall. But other than that, I don't know. I'm ready. I've been watching hockey, and I'm a happy man. And yeah, how about you?
A little less happy than you are, but we'll get to that in due time. Not much really has been going on. Also been having some interesting weather. May 1st, we got some snow. Here in Saskatchewan.
Okay. Love that in May. Jesus Christ.
I mean, it was melting while I was hitting the ground, but it was technically snow. some windshields still had it on it type deal, but
right.
We are getting a nice good rain shower today and tomorrow, and then it's supposed to heat real up. Wow.
Really heat up?
Really heat up. That's what I was going for. Thanks, my guy.
Heat real up.
By the weekend comes, so it's going to get... Maybe I smoked too much. Holy crap.
By the time the weekend comes?
Oz is going to be my interpreter.
I'm going to... Yeah, I'll be the... If there's any questions, just reach out. But we'll do the plugs in a sec.
What I'm trying to say, it's going to be nice and green here in due time. I think by the weekend, it's supposed to be like mid plus 20s type deal. So it's supposed to heat up a great deal. Everything will green right up. All that good stuff. Let's just get to plugs. I've played dodgeball. I got some more dodgeball coming up.
So yeah, we got you follow us at TSWGS Pod on TikTok. Morgan once again has access, so
woohoo! It'll
just be me not posting on there.
Clap for
it'll
me.
Be both of us not posting.
We're terrible at this.
I did make sure to download the show, rate, review, comment, subscribe. Nope, you can't do most of those things, but I don't care because you do them in spirit, and you tell your dog to get some.
It's always the dog,
and he will. Oh man, he'll tell all his friends, and then those friends will tell their friends. Guys, we got a great show today.
I think I'm broken.
I might also be a little under the influence, but that, you know, it's talking stone, right? That's the show.
It's something.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I
we
did
got this. Are you done your plugs?
I think so.
Okay, Captain Morgan 2, figure it out on your own. I can't do it anymore. Oh, now we actually got to talk sports or shit.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Hoosa. We got this. We're professionals. We've been doing it for almost 4 years.
Yep.
Which is wild. But anyways, Austin. Do you know a guy named Andy Fentuz?
I very do.
No, not how I don't even know why I asked if you knew who he was. Well, turns out that he is taking another step in his career, I guess you could say. Well, not say. It is what he's doing. And he's joining the CFL Command Center as a video official, which...
Interesting.
I was just going to say that I think it's very interesting as well. Because not normally do you see or hear about players... Well, actually, besides Andy Fentuz, I can't name another person that's...
No.
Works in the command center.
No, absolutely not.
Don't get me wrong. They're a very important person or group in the CFL. I'm all over the place. I hope
they
you guys...
are a very important person. The entire control room.
This is going to be a mess, but I love it. We're going with it. Oh, hey, my God.
Let's go.
What I'm trying to say is you don't normally hear who's in the command center, but no. I'm all for it being a former player that's played many years, played at a very high level.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Hell, he even dabbled in the NFL a little bit. So
yeah.
He brings the experience. People will be probably saying that he might, I haven't looked into this, but I'm sure there's people out there that are like, well, he's going to side with the wide receivers because he used to be a wide receiver. If it's like a passing interference type call or something like that, but I don't see that happening.
No, I think I feel like ideally he's going to take this job seriously. And if he does that, he's not going to, he'll want to do his job to the best of his abilities. Right?
Yeah, I strongly agree with that as well. That just sounded like I was doing a survey. I strongly agree.
Do you somewhat agree? Sometimes disagree.
I checked the strongly agree box if you're curious there, Austin.
That's good to know. Thank you for letting me know. Now this next question.
Yeah, it's I mean, he was part of the Ty Cats audio network prior to this, so it's kind of another step in his he used to be an analyst there with the Ty Cat, so
right,
he's used to just I think he's going to be great for the job. This next thing, though, you actually beat me to the punch on. This is a rare Austin
scoop.
Yeah.
Especially it being football.
Especially it being heavily, couple of former Rider players.
True.
That water was delicious.
Sounds like we're sponsored by water.
It wouldn't be a terrible sponsor if water's listening. You gotta get at us. Captain Morgan 2 or TSWG is fine somewhere. Hey, water,
if you're listening, and we know that you are, you should reach out.
The owner of water, if you're listening.
No, not the owner, just water.
Okay, water is better.
All right, moving on.
Back to more important things than water.
Well, there is good water. I know we're not drinking the same water, but my water is also good water.
My water is actually high in calcium. It's not that great water. I need a filter. Anywho.
Sounds made up, yeah. Oh, God.
There's some very, how would I say it? The class, the Hall of Fame class of 2024. I'm actually, lots of years, I usually, if I'm being honest, it's like, oh, you're in, cool, congrats, whatever.
Yeah.
But this class, I'm actually, different. It feels a little different, mostly because, well, first of all, you have one of the best punt/kick returners to ever play the game. That's Chad Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. He's definitely a player that he started off as just returner, and then he started getting more chances at the receiver side of things, especially as like a slot back, cutting it in and using his speed to his advantage, all that good stuff. And then you have SJ Green, which had a hell of a career for Montreal. As a Rider fan, everyone remembers that amazing non-catch that he made at the back of the end zone. And I think it was double overtime when his elbow was definitely touching the white line, but we'll get past that.
Mm-hmm.
Joking aside, yeah, joking aside, that was he's a hell of a receiver. Lots of these players, actually, I don't know. I haven't really looked into this article too much. I don't know if this is their first eligibility. Because I think it's 5 years you have to be retired for before you're eligible. I could be wrong. That seems like it could be right, though, doesn't it?
That sounds right. And honestly, let's just say we are right.
Yeah, let's go with it. No one corrects us on anything ever.
So. Yeah, if anyone corrects us, we'll accept it. But
yeah, please do, actually.
Reach out. Comment, rate, subscribe. No.
But the one that's closest to my heart, one guy I've actually met, is Weston Dressler.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing player. Lots of people counted him out, you know, due to his size and all that stuff. But he sure shut them up real quick in my mind.
Real quick, like, oh, absolutely.
I'm trying to think of, actually, let's go through some of these three players' stats, because we like stats, so let's go for it.
We do like stats.
Chad Owens, going back to him, his nickname is the Flying Hawaiian, which
is a great nickname.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as long as you're really fast and from Hawaii.
Well, it would be weird to call me that.
Yeah. And like Flying Saskatchewanian doesn't really
all right,
ring any bells. So, this is actually a couple of people that spent most of their career with Montreal. Chad Owens being one of them, 10 seasons with Montreal in 2009, and then Toronto 2010. Wait, this doesn't make any sense. No, he played 10 seasons
in total.
Total, yeah, it was weirdly worded.
Okay. Yeah, that is very weirdly written, but yeah, he. I was like, I don't think he played for 10 years for Montreal.
But yeah, he played with Montreal, Toronto, Hamilton, Saskatchewan, 4-time All-Star. What else? He had 521 career catches for 6,200 yards, 26 touchdowns. Like I said, he did start off as a returner, but he definitely found his own as a receiver as well. Over 4,000 punt return yards, over 5,000 kick return yards. Like, that's 16,069, nice, and 8 combined yards.
I'm glad you finished the number.
I had to, but like over 16,000
combined yards. Absolutely.
That's Chad love Owens mileage.
Wow, true. And he is a guy that I remember so often watching clips of, just like him burning guys. Like,
oh yeah,
some of his returns were stupid. Just the way he could get out of stuff, and his quickness was just, it was fantastic. So, hell of a career. And
do you want to hear a crazy record?
Yes, absolutely.
In 2012, Chad Owens set a pro single football season record, not just
single season,
not just the CFL, but all football, with 3,863 combined yards.
Damn, that's nuts.
That's something.
Yeah, no, he. Oh, is that the year they won the Grey Cup?
Yeah. We don't have to mention that.
Well, I mean, it's not like they beat Saskatchewan to do it.
That's fair.
But no, what a career for that guy. But can I say some stats for Dressler? Is that all right?
Oh, I guess so. I'll allow it.
Weston Dressler is a couple of years younger. Actually, I didn't realize that he's 4 years younger. He's 38 years old. But hell of a career. Played with Saskatchewan from 08 to 2015. Winnipeg for a couple of years. Overall, he had over 700 catches for over 10,000 yards receiving and 61 touchdowns. Not bad. Oh, and did I mention that he's 5'7", 168 pounds?
Yeah, like I said, lots of people honestly counted him out due to his size, which...
which was stupid, because this dude, I in his prime, man, like, that was a special dude. And the fact sorry.
I was just going to say he's made also two Grey Cup appearances, winning in 2013 with Regina. So,
with Saskatchewan, not with Regina. In Regina.
With.
The team is not Regina.
Sorry.
The team is Saskatchewan.
Fuck
Regina. But, yeah, it just... just a little guy from North Dakota fucking wrecking the CFL back in 08, all the way to 15. But yeah, loved it, dude.
And then there was SJ Green. Same age as Weston Dressler's.
Oh, he had one. Oh, wow. Sorry, I'm just realizing how similar their career stats are.
Yeah. Although they're very similar in a lot of ways, besides their size.
Yes.
SJ Green was 6'3".
He had 8 inches on Dressler.
Yeah. And he was 216 pounds. Which, that's more of a regular size.
Yes.
Wide receiver if you're playing pro football.
Absolutely.
He was remarkable with Montreal and Toronto, but his main career, or at least main chunk of his career, and what I remember him from, is from Montreal. But yeah, like you already mentioned, very similar stats as Dressler. He has 716 catches.
One more.
One more catch, but he does have a few more yards than...
almost 200 more,
yards, but he is, you know, over 10,000 club, and yes, one less TD. So,
hey, that's pretty fucking close.
Hell of a career. All three of these players definitely deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not surprised whatsoever. There is a couple other coaches and stuff. I'll mention their names. I don't honestly know too much about them. We got Marvin Coleman, Vince Goldsmith, with former CFL coach Ray Jotch and amateur football icon Ed Lavarty. That name actually rings a bell for some reason. Anyways, they're in as builders and... oh, and also joining Hull's media wing is Steve Dinell, the CFL Associates Vice President of Football Analytics, and TSN reporter Farhan Lougi.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Farhan Lougi. I love him as a reporter.
He's been there for a while.
This is very... very well overdue, I think. This is all happening September 13th in Hamilton. So
there you go.
Austin.
All right.
I think you're ready. I think I can hear you vibrating over there.
Well, For
or
sure.
At least I hear something.
That's not me.
There. I hope it's you. The sound's coming from you. That's weird.
Anyway. So, as we get deeper into the playoffs, there are less teams that are in the playoffs. And as a result of that, these teams start to look at coaching situations, because now it's time to assess. It's time to analyze and figure out what worked, what didn't, and what changes need to be made, potentially.
Yeah.
So there has definitely been some talk there. We'll start with Rod Brind'Amour. The talk is, because he's in his final season of his contract with the Hurricanes. Now, interesting thing with him in the past with the Hurricanes is quite famously in the hockey world, his last contract was held up because he held out for his coaching staff to get better pay. So basically, he wasn't signing his contract until they got a raise.
I actually didn't know that, and I give him a lot of respect for that. Actually,
oh yeah, no, everything I hear about this guy is he's a great dude. Like, so that was kind of a big sticking point, because the Carolina ownership is quite famously very cheap. Now, this being the last year of his contract, I mean, the Carolina Hurricanes are still in the playoffs, right?
Yes, that's really hard to say.
At this point, obviously, they're not making a change right now.
Oh, but that would be nuts to see a coach change mid-playoffs.
That would be insane. But it's, you know.
Do you think it determines how far they end up going, or
I think that's definitely a factor for sure. I mean, if you go to the Stanley Cup final, you know, how do you fire that guy? But
say, because right now we currently know they're in the second round, so let's say they get eliminated second round. What do you think about that for his career?
I mean, it's tough, because I feel like at that point, regardless of the playoff finish, I think Brind'Amour is a guy that could demand quite a lot in a contract. I'll put it this way. Carolina doesn't have a lot of stars. You know what I mean? Like, they're not a big name team necessarily. They got good players, don't get me wrong. Of course, like, it's a great team, but it's more of a group effort, and if he's the kind of guy that can get that group to be this consistently good, I think that's a coach worth paying a lot of money for. Now, if he's looking at this point for money, he shouldn't stay in Carolina.
If you didn't mention that, I was going to.
If he now decides he wants the money and try to win a cup, somewhere else is going to be the place. There was some rumor and some talk potentially about the Kraken.
That could be interesting, but I was just going to throw something out also.
Okay.
See, cause I know we were going to talk about him, so maybe I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but Sheldon Keefe, if he goes from Toronto, you see him going into Canadian market.
We can talk about the, because that's an interesting situation as well.
I do know I'm getting slightly ahead of myself, but
no, it's okay. It's possible. I think Brind'Amour, he wants to win.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I don't know, man. He also might just be like, hey, I think my best chance is here in Carolina.
As far as winning a cup goes, they're not an awful choice.
Well, and also, he's won one there before.
Fair.
he was on that 06 team, right? So, like,
so yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he also wants to do the same thing as
right. That's coach, the thing, so. Right? As a career thing, that's pretty cool.
So it all really will, I think, stem down to how greedy is he going to be, which, based on what you just recently told me of how he held out on his contract and stuff, I don't really see, like, sure, he wants to get paid, but I don't see him being all that greedy, if you will. So,
yeah, I, and that was the thing I was saying, kind of, if he decides he wants the money, then he should move on. But I don't
see, because he would get paid at Toronto if that was an open.
Oh, there's a couple places I think that would pay him quite handsomely. Seattle will be one of them.
Yeah, it also stems to if Carolina even wants to keep him.
True. We also have we got noise going on with the Penguins. Recently, Kyle Dubas fired assistant coach Todd Reirden. Now, Reirden was essentially in charge of the power play for the Penguins. And if you'll remember, the Penguins' power play was atrocious, despite having Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, Eric Karlsson,
Jake Ensel for most of the year.
They should have been, and they weren't. And now here's the thing. Mike Sullivan really liked Todd Reirden. And the fact that Dubas has fired Reirden, there is now a bit of a rumor that Sullivan might be looking elsewhere. Possibly New Jersey, which I think could be interesting.
That could be neat.
That could be interesting. But something I find interesting is the Leafs situation. And you alluded a little earlier to it, but we don't know at this point what's going on 100% for sure. However, the way Sheldon Keefe spoke the other day, after the game, that doesn't sound to me like a guy who thinks he's going to be employed for much longer.
Yeah, I have yet to listen to it because I'm a little personally heartbroken as well, which we'll get to once we do a deeper dive.
And that's totally fair because there's a lot of frustration out there to be had with Sheldon Keefe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quote, I'm just trying to find it. There's a specific quote that really what I'm talking about, right? But basically it was along the lines of the Leafs or teams have a way of playing to make the Leafs lose themselves or whatever, something along those lines. And the way he's like saying about it in the third person, like the Leafs, like you're the coach.
Yeah. Usually you hear we.
It, right.
And people, I guarantee you're not the only person to pick up on that.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. I watched Steve Dangle, Leafs superfan video after, and oh boy.
Well, he thought Sheldon Keefe was done for sure if he didn't make it past the first round. So
there's a couple rumors of potential guys to come in to Toronto. Two names make sense to me. Because this is clear that the team needs a culture shift on the ice. And players will be probably traded, but in terms of coaching, Rod Brindamore, I think, would be a great fit. but potentially yeah. Craig Berube, out of former St. Louis coach, one in St. Louis. Now, I'm hearing mixed signals on him, but I feel like Berube is a guy who won't pull punches. You know, there was, well, I can get into that later, but he won't take it easy on these players.
And that's kind of what lots of them need.
I think sometimes you need a hard ass. And as much as old man.
Well, hell, John Tortorella should go over there.
That would be insane. The meat all.
Dude, if you're talking about a hard ass.
Dude, I know. But like, oh my God. He would fucking sit Austin Matthews, throw Mitch Marner into the sun if he hadn't been already. All right. We got a question.
Ooh, I like questions.
Buyout, trade, or keep? What do you do if you're the Kings with Pierre-Luc Dubois?
This is like the hockey version of
yep,
marry, kill, fuck, or whatever.
I was going to say kiss, but you went real aggressive. Yeah. So, 3 years running, the Kings have lost to the Oilers. This latest one, they lost in the least amount of games, which was 5, after they brought in Pierre-Luc Dubois. They paid a lot for Pierre-Luc Dubois. And then they signed him to a expensive extension. And
it was an interesting move.
He was not good. And he hasn't been that great in a while. He had 40 points in 82 games. And at one point, he was demoted to the fourth line.
Like, LA seems to be a team that still think they can win now with the group that they have. And that's not going to be the case.
So
they need a retool or something. So if I was the GM of LA, I'd try and trade them.
Okay. So there's definitely that thought process. If you're trading, you're going to have to retain, because nobody's taking this player at $8 million.
True.
Absolutely nobody. It's insane. Because he was not very good in Columbus, he was not very good in Winnipeg, and shocker, not very good in LA. I think he gets his money because everyone's like, but he should be good.
And he should be.
I don't think he gives a fuck, though.
Not if you're a game. No.
That's the thing. I think he is a player who, and this is no offense, but like, he does not give a fuck. He's getting paid. He's got his, but he lives in LA. He's all this shit, all that. Good for you, Dubois. How about you have a fucking mediocre career and enjoy that money? Like, you, I don't know.
It's definitely a tricky situation.
Here's the thing. I almost am like, buy him out.
Especially if you're going, I would personally, this is what I do. I would look into the trade options first. You do that first. Because if someone wants to take that entire contract off your hands, good. You do it now. But
oh, absolutely.
If you have to, even if you have to retain a little bit, you do it now. But if it's at all over half of his contract or whatever, then you might as well just buy him out.
Yeah, if you can't make a trade work, worst case, like, all right, you got a couple mil against the cap for a while, but at least it's not $8.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then after a while, it would just become like a little over $1 million. And this is, we're talking 2031. So the cap will go up. That won't matter. If you can't make a trade work, I don't know, man.
You just take the hit?
I think so. It's a bad look, though. It's a
congrats bad look for the GMs. Yeah, and then it's, you just say congrats to, what's-his-face, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and be like, congrats, here's some free money. You just won a minor lottery. There you go.
Yeah. So we got a recap.
We do.
Buddy, old pal, we got to recap the first round because the first round is officially over.
Can we talk about one particular team first?
Why?
Just because I really want to. I'm really excited. We don't have to. I'll save it. Go ahead.
Well, if it was the Vegas thing, I was just going to talk about their matchup.
I was just going to talk about the fact that Vegas went all in on the trade deadline.
Yeah. I mean, we could have done that. I could have just...
Okay. Sorry. I was just excited. Continue.
Yeah. Hey. Trust that I can do this.
Well, I trust. I'm just excited.
So, yeah, Western Conference, we have a end to it, and the last series came to an end. The Dallas Stars and the Golden Knights, after going up 2-0 in the series, on the road.
On the road again.
Vegas proceeded to lose 3 games in a row. Dallas took the 3-2 lead. Vegas made it interesting, won 2-0 in game 6, but ultimately Dallas is moving on. And Vegas, oh Vegas, they get to decide now. There's going to be some changes in Vegas for sure, because if there's something we know about this team, they are ruthless. They don't give a fuck. So their loyalties, absolutely not. Jonathan Marchessault, I can guarantee he's gone. He's a free agent.
I don't think they can afford much right now.
That's the thing. So, that being said, they have a lot more leeway right now and into the offseason, because the offseason salary cap is a lot different than the in-season.
No.
In that there really isn't one.
During the season, they're probably going to have one or two paper cuts, that's for sure.
Well, but as it turns out, a lot of players being injured is not great for your team. And bringing in guys just because they're good on other teams doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be good for your team. Now, that wasn't true for all their acquisitions. Noah Hanifin played excellently. He had a great first round. Tomas Hertl, I think he had like, point or two, or no, he had like no points in the last 5 games of the series or something like that. Like, it was,
yeah, I barely heard him at all.
Yeah, embarrassing. So honestly, it makes me happy.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be their like big, that's supposed to be the biggest trade tape deal.
They're going for a repeat, buddy. They're going for it. Well, guess what, Vegas, sometimes it don't matter. You just lose. And
that does make me happy.
Well, and I think, just here's the thing. As a fan of a sports team, you can't just always have success all the time.
And they were gifted success right from day one.
Right? If you're a Vegas fan, oh my God, it's a great time to be a Vegas fan. Not right now exactly, but it was a little while ago when they thought they may be getting through to the second round and maybe another cup. But heartbreak's a part of it, and Vegas fans are feeling it now. And, as a Canucks fan, buddy, I have no sympathy.
Same as a Flames fan.
Yep. But I think, I can't remember, because some series had ended. I guess we have another The only other series to go to Game 7.
Yeah.
The only other series to go to Game 7.
All right, so I got to go, so you can just talk amongst yourself on this one.
So, good, because I got a lot to say.
Oh, thank
you. Toronto and Boston. It is a match made in heaven if you're from Massachusetts. If you're from Toronto, however, this is the worst thing of all time ever, always, is playing Boston. Because no matter what, whether it was back in 2013 when the Leafs in Game 7 had a 4-1 lead over the Boston Bruins and they lost that game. And then in 2018, I believe, they got to Game 7, had a lead, and then lost. And 2019, and now 2024, the Bruins beat the Leafs in 7 in overtime. After being down in the third period, the Leafs were winning 1-0 for about a minute.
Yeah, I was cheering very loudly. I got 3 points at one goal.
And William Nylander, baby. And honestly, okay, I just want to say, and I don't care what anybody else says, that goal should not have counted.
Ooh.
Tyler Bertuzzi absolutely should have taken a penalty on that play.
Well, if we want to
but specifically that goal probably should not have counted. And if just imagine if the Leafs had won that game 1-0, the outrage of Bruins fans, because that was the flip side of the series, right? The Leafs always lose to the Bruins. However, the Bruins were very, very close to 2 years in a row being up 3-1 in a series and then blowing it and losing.
Yeah, because all in all, Toronto I don't think they played horrible in this series.
But they didn't win.
That is the final result, yeah.
That's the only thing that matters, right? And I think the frustrating thing from both the fans and me is the players on the team in the press conference. Well, you know, it's a good group of guys, and we were so close. We played a really good series. Like, okay.
The 69 goals that Matthews got doesn't matter now.
Wow, magical. He had fucking, 3 or 4 points in the series? 3 points. Yeah, he was out, but this is a guy you're going to be paying $13 million starting next year. You know,
Think there's going to be some serious changes and some big, big changes.
There's a few untouchables, but I don't see a
Nylander's one of them. He's
Nylander is absolutely one of them. William
Marner's gone,
shows up in the playoffs, put it that way.
And I think Matthews might be questionable.
No, you keep Matthews, you make that work. But I think, honestly, at this point, I think it's best for both parties if Marner leaves, if Marner gets traded.
I 100% agree with that one, or strongly agree. I checked that box.
I strongly agree. I so I think just the team, the fan base is done with him. He's done with the media. He's done with the He needs to go to a quieter place, and I'm sure he'll do well. He's a good player.
Where do you see him possibly going or fitting in? Or
there's been some talk about that. It's a matter of a team that can take that salary.
I don't even know off the top of my head what he's getting paid right now.
But it also depends on the kind of return you're looking for.
Yeah,
Mitch Marner for Zach Hyman. Who says no?
I do. I don't want him playing for fucking Edmonton. Are you kidding me? Are you absolutely insane? You want him in our division playing with
David? Dude, Zach Hyman had like 54 goals this year.
Yeah, and I didn't like that either. But okay, at least all his goals were inches from the net, mostly.
Hey, goals are goals, man.
Well, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying.
That's a good old playoff goal. Something Mitch Marner can learn about. Anyway.
No, I do see Mitch Marner going, and I could. John Tavares also could be an interesting call.
John Tavares, because both these guys have no trade clauses. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be hard to convince Marner to waive it. Tavares is going to be harder.
I guess he is from Toronto, isn't he?
Well, they both are, but.
Are they? Okay.
Yeah, but Tavares is the captain. He's also later on in his career, so
that's true.
He's got a family, right? He's got the kids. He's got that's going to be harder to do. But I think if you're the Leafs, you try to make it happen because I love John Tavares at $4.5 million.
Yeah,
right. Like. The way he plays, because he's a good player still. He's a very good player. Don't get me wrong. But at $11 million, absolutely fucking not.
Think the two main untouchables would be Matthews and Nylander then?
Matthews and Nylander. There's a few guys I want them to re-sign. Max Domi was excellent for them. They absolutely need to re-sign him. And I think Max Domi wants to stay a Leaf. I think he likes it. I think he fits in well.
They just need some help on the defensive side.
Yes, they do. Matthew Nyes played a really good series. He is a playoff performer. He's a playoff type player. Didn't have a ton of points, but
he had points when it counted.
He had a great winner there. He's a great playoff performer. He's a guy you keep for a while. You try to. Other than that, but that's the thing. Okay, that's the thing with defense. Like, their defense was decent this year. Like, they shut down Boston pretty well for when they really, really needed
it. That is true. It was a very low-scoring series.
I don't know, man. It's they got some free agents coming up. I don't know what they're going to do. But it's enough about a team who we don't give a fuck about anymore because they're going golfing. We're moving on. We got the second round. We had 16 teams, and now we're down to 8. Just like that. We got in the West. Let's start in the West first because the West is better.
You're not wrong.
We have the Dallas Stars. And the Colorado Avalanche. Who do you got?
Well, since right from very day one of the season, I said Dallas Stars was going to go very, very far this year. I have to go with my team in green, so I'm going to go Dallas in 6.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
I will say this real quick. The reason why I'm saying this isn't just because of what I said at the beginning. It is also I understand Colorado has very, very high scoring talent. Although the checking and the grind that Dallas will put on Colorado, I think will just simply wear them down.
Well, in the depth, right? Because Dallas has like 3 second lines and then a fourth line. Like,
yeah, they're another team kind of like Carolina.
Exactly. They can roll lines 1 through 3 and just it's basically the same.
They won't really skip a beat.
Colorado, depth is not really a thing. However. The thing about Colorado is they didn't really have great depth on offense when they won the cup last time.
No, they just outscored everyone.
And that's the thing. because that one line happens to be really, really fucking good. Nathan MacKinnon went on an absolute tear this season, over 140 points in the regular season, lit up Winnipeg, absolutely lit up Winnipeg.
Winnipeg didn't stand a chance. Winnipeg, who would pick any players from Winnipeg?
An absolute idiot
would pick three players from Winnipeg.
Yeah, that was a really one dumb move. Whoever did that. So here's the thing: you got depth versus destruction line, and I don't know. I think I got Colorado. Also in six, though.
Ooh, we're doing little swapsies.
Well, I don't think we're picking the same team on this one, this next one, but
we might be.
Okay. I'm a little stressed about this series. We have the Canucks and the Oilers.
We're staying in the West. I thought you might alternate.
Yeah, no. We just kind of rip off the Band-Aid because, buddy, I'm scared. The Canucks, despite winning the first round, we are now on our third string goalie, who has been playing great.
Don't get me wrong. Remarkably well.
He has been playing incredible.
But that was against Nashville.
But it was against Nashville. And no offense against Nashville, but putting the puck in the net is not their specialty. Stopping the puck from going in theirs is their specialty.
Well, Saros, if we want to talk about... Oh, he played amazing as well. Anywho.
Saros was fantastic. Very low scoring affair, but this series is not going to be that, because as much as I love Silas or Shilovs or Shilovs, whatever they call, I don't know how to pronounce it. McDavid,
yeah,
Dreisaitl, Hyman, Nugent Hopkins, Evan Bouchard, Matthias Ekholm. I'm getting stretching a little bit there, but this is probably one of the deepest Edmonton Oilers teams I've seen in a very long time.
They even have decent goaltending.
Stuart Skinner's been, he's been good enough for them to win.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Sometimes Wayne Gretzky will talk about Grant Fuhr because people look at his stats and they're like, wow, he let in a lot of goals. And guess what, buddy? They won. So it doesn't really matter, does it?
Not in the end. No.
This is going to be a very different series for the Canucks from the first round. I want the Canucks to win. So I'm going to pick the Canucks to win. My heart is not letting my brain decide. And I got the Canucks in seven. But the thing about winning in seven, you know what they say, you got to lose three to win in seven. So I don't expect to win every game, but I've been talking a little bit with a coworker of mine about how Shilovs is going to be the next Cam Ward, where, if you'll remember, back in 06, Cam Ward came in as a rookie and backstopped that team to a Stanley Cup.
That's true.
So I'll take it, but it's going to be a rough one. What do you got?
Well, this is where we actually, a very small part of us agree. I do want the Canucks to win the series. However, I don't think they can quite match the scoring of the Oilers. The best thing that could have happened for the Canucks is if some miracle happened and LA took out the Oilers. Vancouver played a hell of a regular season. They can score some goals, and I do think this series is going to go to seven, but I think it's going to go in Oilers' favor. Oilers in seven.
Yeah. No, that's fair, and you're right. The Canucks definitely can score goals. I see, interestingly enough,
I was also going to say, I don't know the history of the injuries for your two goalies. So say if Demko or something comes in like game two or game three, that could change things.
And that's the thing. All I've heard is he's not ready for game one, which we kind of already knew would be the case.
But even though there's second string, because they're on their third string goalie right now. But
yeah, it's not great. Things aren't great, okay?
They won a series with him, so do you go? It's
not. I know, but all it takes is one groin tweak, you know?
Well, you don't want to be on your fourth string goalie.
Jesus. It's going to be me soon in net if we don't stop getting injured.
We got to move on, though.
We do have to move on. We're gonna go a little over. We already had game one of the series, but it's gonna be a good one. We got the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Both teams had not much competition in the first round.
Nope.
Obviously, the Rangers sweeping the Capitals and the Hurricanes doing the gentlemanly sweep where they let the Islanders win one game.
That's so nice of them.
So nice of them. Now, Rangers are up 1-0. I don't see a way that Carolina wins this series.
Oh, okay.
I don't, because the Rangers, they have Igor Shesterkin, who I take over Frederik Andersen every day of the week.
Yeah, they do have the goalie matchup. You're not wrong.
They got the names, right? The Panarins, and Zibanejad. First game. 3 points. Everyone was like, oh, he's so quiet. Bam, two goals right away and an assist. If he's on fire, that team is not losing. Rangers in six.
Well, I'm making this pick mostly in faith of my good old father, who was very high in Carolina. That's why we have so many players in our hockey draft from Carolina. I say Carolina in five. Let's get crazy.
What?
Yeah, let's get crazy.
So you think Carolina's going to win four straight?
Yeah.
Against the New York Rangers.
I'm talking high voice because I totally remembered that they are already down one series. I totally remember it. Everything's normal.
Oh,
everything's
God.
Fine.
Everything's great. So, the last matchup of the second round. We got Florida.
Oh,
we got
boy.
Boston.
Oh, boy.
Now, if you'll recall, last year, Boston had that stranglehold on the series. And oop,
this is going to be the series to watch. Besides, like, you being a Canucks fan, this is the series to watch.
And then, absolutely. Because I have a feeling that these teams are going to kill each other.
Oh, whoever comes of this series will be on stretchers.
Will the winner of this series, I don't think, will go to the Stanley Cup final, because
no.
They're going to have to go to the Rangers after that. Like,
well,
and they
even
got some big boys.
Oh, if they have to go through the Rangers after, oh my Lord. And then so, still somehow play a Stanley Cup series
against the Canucks.
That'd be crazy. Yeah, totally.
So I will say, unfortunately, there's only two Canadian teams left and they're playing each other.
This isn't the first time you saw that, seen that happen.
Anyway, Florida, Boston, Florida in five. I don't think Boston has what it takes. I know Boston beat the Leafs. The Leafs beat themselves. They got in their heads. They're terrible. Boston didn't play a great series. Jeremy Swayman played a great series.
Mm-hmm.
But the Panthers are going to overwhelm the Bruins. The Panthers are rested. They are ready.
Yep, and they're hungry.
They are
They've hungry. Been scheming.
Panthers in five.
Panthers. And I think the Panthers are mad that they didn't win at all last year. And
yes,
they're going hard for it this year.
Yes, they are. Paul Maurice has never won a Stanley Cup as a coach.
Well, I think that might change. Panthers, four-game sweep.
Ooh.
I'm crazy today before work, my guy.
Well, guess what? Game one of that series is today.
Well, We'll see if I'm right or wrong real quick.
Before we will. We'll know today.
No, I'm ready for this series. This is a nice thing, besides me having a few players in the hockey draft, having next to zero stake in this playoffs has been remarkable. Especially fair now enough, that Toronto's no out.
Yeah, no stress.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping for last place. I want to get laughed at by all the old drunks with while holding that trophy. Let's go. Let's fucking go.
All right. Well, I think that's it. I did send you another thing, but I want to give some time to it because I want to give them the proper respect. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you have anything more to talk about on the second round or anything like that?
No, it's if the first round wasn't exciting enough, then it's about to be.
We got some good matchups. Rangers and Hurricanes is going to be, Warriors Canucks. We got all, oh man, they're all good. I'm so ready.
Yeah, let's fucking go. On that note, stay stoned, stay safe.
Hey, go Canucks.